we do, you know, product placement. Always cracks me up when they have like the protein drink and the other stuff, and it's like. Okay.
Coach C.J. Smith had a really good practice today, working with the ones. What are some of the things that he's got to stand out to?
Just consistency. He's still a young player. He has made some plays so far, and we need corners that can make plays. But I think all the guys have made plays. It's just they need to be consistent. When you play corner, if you make one mistake, it can be, you know, it can be a touchdown, it can be a ball over your head, and you know, you can spoil three good plays in a row. So from that whole group, CJ included, we need consistency. Very encouraged by him. He's doing a good job.
Those lines, back to Pops, except yesterday he's only 25% where
we
wanted to be.
Yeah, I mean the way our defense was yesterday, that might have been a high number for. If you'd asked me where we were yesterday, probably would have been a lower percentage than that. We didn't have a good practice yesterday, but I like the way the guys came out today and competed. It was a lot of red zone work, which shrinks the field a little bit, but it's also tough to defend. And you know, I thought the guys bounced back from yesterday. Patrick included.
Are you concerned at all with the state of the cornerback position and just how it seems like one day he'll get burned for a lot of big plays in a day like today where you bounce back, but nobody's really stepping up as that true number one corner? It doesn't seem like
that. Yeah, well, we're 4 days in or 3 days in, and you know, we said it before, I'd love to have some continuity there, but also we have to let it play and we have to be able to see who can survive the you know, the slings and arrows of training camp. There are going to be some situations that are bad. The one thing that I don't know that you guys always understand is sometimes there's periods in practice where you're sort of handcuffing guys. See, the offense knows what the call is. The period is nothing but one coverage or something. And where it might not look like a guy's, you know, particularly doing well, but you know, it's hard. Just say this: it's hard to judge how it goes in there. You know, when the quarterback throws the ball on time, when he doesn't, and 7-on-7 if he pumps and then goes. There's a lot of other things that go into it other than that. But you know, I mean, you know, we're sort of the same way as you guys. We're very interested in the cornerback. Competition. It's a daily thing for those guys, and we not only need playmakers, but we need consistency, sort of like the first question.
How is Rob Brooks look so far? I mean, coming off the quad.
We're really staying on the corner position, aren't we? You know, I think that, you know, obviously he had a major injury. Has come back, hasn't missed any days. You know, a lot of times when guys have injuries, whether it's an ACL or like him, ruptured patella or whatever it is, they look good one day and then they swell up and they need a day off or something like that. And I've been very encouraged the fact that he's been out here every single day and he's knocking some rust off, just like Joe Walker's knocking some rust off. It's good work for him, and the hard work that both of those guys have shown in the offseason is paying off for him because they haven't missed anything here.
What do you think Sydney's been getting out of just being out here and still being in the meeting room?
Tired legs. It's a tough situation. You know, it's tough. It's first of all, training camp's a grind anyway, and you know, and you're out there and you're practicing and you're meeting and you're lifting and you're doing all those things. It's harder when you're not the one that's on the film, and he has a tough job. He's been very good at staying up with things. His job, this is the way we told him, is at some point he's going to play. Who knows when it's going to be? We don't know. But his job is to make sure he's mentally ready when he's physically ready. You know, when he's physically ready, he can't get the, okay, now it's time to get mentally ready. He has to stay ready and do that stuff. It's tough duty. It's tough duty for anybody. We talked about Ron and, you know, other guys that have had injuries that are veteran players. It's all new for him. But he's a smart guy, picks things up quick. He asks good questions. Those are all important things for him. And, you know, just, you know, even if he's not out there, he can experience something from the competitiveness of a red zone drill and see the way that veteran players react, see the way that Malcolm and Rodney, you know, practice after a bad day and things like that. There's still a lot of things that he can learn, and, you know, that's too long of a you guys know that's too long a thing when you just cut me off. You're like, okay, that's enough of that. That's enough of that. Right.
Jim, do you get the sense that the players get you more in year two offseason in terms of understanding how you relate to them?
know. You'd have to ask them that.
Do you think that's important that they, you know, we talk about
I think that they understand how we plan, how we operate, the way we handle little things like meetings or accountability, and then also probably more for the linebackers and the safeties, but there is some D-line nature to it also, just sort of anticipating calls and things like that. You know, like Jordan Hicks hasn't been out here other than 707s very much. But it's been really good as he stands and he's asking, why did you make that call? That's something when he's in the middle of the field he doesn't necessarily do. But just trying to get in my – and, like, understand, you know, the why behind things rather than just how behind things. But, you know, I don't know. Training camp is about a lot of things. I think one of our greatest challenges is that our whole needs to be greater than the sum of our parts. And that means a defensive lineman making a corner better. You know, I mean, they can help our corners. We talked about the corners a long time. They can make our corners better by good rushes. But if players can sort of anticipate my calls and understand things, I think that certainly helps.
So what's the next step in Fletcher Cox's development?
I don't know. He's a pretty developed player. I think we've also added some good pieces around him. Not just in tackle positions, but the end positions. There's some ways that you can take out defensive linemen when it comes to pass rush, and we've worked hard to sort of, you know, try to be able to handle that and we put it this way. When offensive line coaches game plan against us, I don't want to speak for them, but I'm sure they start with number 91, you know, and it's like, okay, how do we keep this guy from wrecking the game? Well, the next step to being a great player, and Fletch is, the next step to being a great player is being able to meet that and be able to, still get a hit when they're pitching around you. See, I got a baseball analogy in there.
Jim, looking at the perspective.
Yesterday, you had full contact yesterday. What were you looking for, and what did you see?
I was hoping that we'd have 90 guys walk off the field. Truth. I mean, it's man. You want to see contact, and you want to see, you know, physical play and all those things. And you're also, you know, every time you see, like, you know, Sproles get the ball, you're like, oh, please don't hit him too hard. Or, you know, you see guys go down. There's a balancing act, too. And, you know, I think the players have done a good job of trying to work hard and be physical and things like that, but also sort of not playing outside the bounds of it and getting some injuries here or there that can be prevented.
What have you seen from him so far?
He's a tough guy. There's nobody out here that's not a hard worker. I think the thing that shows through with Tim is that he's mentally tough as well as physically tough. And, you know, when you rush the passer and it's late in practice or it's late in a game and it's 90 degrees and humid, it's got to come from somewhere other than just, you know, effort. It's got to come from some mental toughness. He has that.
Jim, where base coverage or base formation is a misnomer in the league now?
Well, it's 25%, 30%.
Come back in 10 years, are we going to be calling nickel base coverage?
Well, I think it's pretty probably can call it that now. I mean, just not just us or our offense or our defense or our division opponents. It's around the league. I don't know exactly what the numbers is. You guys can always go to Pro Football Focus, but I'm guessing for us, it's around 70%. So, you know, 70% is greater than 30%, so that probably would make it base. Yeah.
Is that going to level off, or do you think it's going to keep going where it's going to be a real anomaly to have three linebackers in line?
Well, I mean, I think that offensive coaches want playmakers on the field, and there's good wide receivers, and it gives the quarterback options to be able to go to. I mean, when you can spread the field, and you don't have to just win one matchup. You got to win three matchups when it comes to wide receivers. Plus, all these tight ends now have all played wide receiver, and you know you got to be able to handle them. It has changed the game a little bit. I don't know where it'll go. Things tend to go in cycles, but. You know, we can't on defense. We have to play what they put out there. You know, so you know if they put three wide receivers and a receiving tight end out there, we're going to cover them all. If they put three tight ends and a fullback out there, we got to defend those guys too. And I'd go back before. Multidimensional players on defense are very important because we don't control substitutions and we don't control what the play call is. All right,
guys.